Guess we'll get started here. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you've gathered us here tonight, Lord, to look into your word, Lord, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, for each one here, Lord, that hearts would be open to receive your word. Lord, have your way in all that's said and done, Lord. And Lord, only you can do it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I asked Mitch to turn the sound way down, so we like to kid around. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I thought it was kind of funny because tonight's subject is the patient waiting for Christ. And so patience kind of means, you know, something that's kind of long, not quick, but yet he says, I come quickly. And that word quickly is number 5035 in the Strong's. It means shortly, that is without delay, soon, or by surprise. Now that's not for us. Suddenly and readily. And in 1 Thessalonians 1, get back here. Chapter 3 and verses 3 through 6 and 10. Chapter 1, I'm sorry. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. And to wait for his Son, this is verse 10, from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. These Thessalonians were some saints that we need to pay attention to. What was Paul remembering here? He said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. And I believe that these saints knew Ephesians 2:10. We'll just turn there. And it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So these works of faith and labors of love were his works. It was his workmanship. And okay. It's so sweet when we let him do it. And we can have that cheerful endurance of expectation, and that's that patience of hope, because hope is expectation, and patience in this verse means cheerful endurance. Again, in verse 6, they received the word in much affliction. And I was thinking of my testimony about Ty saying it's supposed to be hard. So I wrote in here in parentheses, it's supposed to be hard. There's going to be much affliction for us. And okay, and then we have the joy of the Holy Ghost. And I love this in verse 5. I'm sorry, I'm a little groggy. It says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And, oh, that's verse 4. I'm sorry. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. That word is power. And in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Right here, we have our much assurance of the Holy Ghost. And I like that. If I didn't have this, I don't know where I'd be right now. We go through these things and we wonder, Lord, I can't do this. I can't make it. And then you go to the Word. He'll either bring it to your heart, the Holy Spirit will speak it to you, or you just pick it up and turn right to the right page, and you get that assurance. And as Pastor so often says, we're without excuse. We have it all right here. And verse 4 tells us that we are, or they are, the elect of God. Chosen when? I believe they were chosen the same time we were. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And if we would turn to 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 5. I'm going to read 4. It says, and we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And so many times we read love and patience. And we need love to have patience. Just like a parent with a child, they have to have patience for that child, but it's because they love that child. And it's the same as we get older. We have patience for each other. On the job I used to have, I had to have a lot of patience. I tried to train somebody, and a lot of times they didn't speak English, and I'd show them, and that wouldn't work. I'd say, okay, Lord, help me, and I'd try to show them another way, and I'd try to, you know, work with them until finally I could get through to them. And it took a lot of patience sometimes. But eventually we got to that point where we needed to be. And I think a really good example of love and patience is Jacob and Rachel. He waited 14 whole years to marry her. And he worked all those years. Now that was a labor of love. And I want to turn to Genesis 29:20. And I like this cheerful expectation he had. Now, this was after the first 7 years, but it says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And, of course, he did have to wait another 7 years because of Laban's trickery, but he had the promise, and he looked to the day that it would be fulfilled. Psalms 39:7. I don't know what I put all these stickers up here. So far, I haven't needed them. Thanks, Lord. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. And if we go to Titus 2:13, these little books that I have trouble with. Oh, here we go. I do need the sticker for that. I thought it was further up here. Okay. And this is what we wait for, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just want to read this in verse 15 here. It says, let no man despise thee. I'm just throwing that in for free, but I like that. Praise the Lord. 1 John 3:2. Thank you. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And this, again, is what we wait for. This is our hope. And right now, we see through that glass darkly. And it doesn't appear yet what we shall be. But we have much assurance of the gospel, as we read before. In Thessalonians 3:5. And I'll go back. And that is the patient waiting of Christ. Okay. Romans 8:25. It says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And sometimes it gets hard. I know there are those that would say, my Lord delays his coming. You know, we haven't seen him yet. We've waited. Look how it's been 2,000 years, and yet we haven't seen him. But we have to have that expectation, that hope, in that we see not. And again, in Habakkuk 2:3, it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. And that's what we need to remember, is for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And Psalms 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we get the feeling sometimes like we can't take any more. I know I've been there. It's been quite the year. I think of I started off the year having a heart attack, and then I got sent home from work because of COVID. And of course, you know, you couldn't go out, you couldn't do anything. And then I found out I had the cancer. And it just kind of got overwhelming. And I said, Lord, why did this happen that I have to be alone at this time? And he just reminded me that I had to be of good courage. I had to just trust him and believe him. And he strengthened my heart. And we get that again here in the Word. And the encouragement of the saints. And again, wait. We got a lot of waiting in here. And remember Gideon and his 300 in Judges. And it says, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And he went up thence to Penuel and spake to them likewise, and the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And the men of Succoth and Penuel would not give them bread, yet Gideon and his men were that day victorious. They were faint pursuing, they were looking for bread. But see, that wasn't God's plan. God strengthened their hearts. He won the battle for them. He fought it. And they did win. And, you know, we often think, you know, why does God do it this way? Why didn't he feed them? They were hungry. They needed that strength. But his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And a lot of times in those things are the times that he encourages us, you know, in the ways we don't think. And we all know this one. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And I want to turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 3 and 10. And Paul exhorts Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that's us, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And I think I like reading history, especially World War II. I think I've told you before my dad was in the Battle of the Bulge. But I think of the special units of our armed forces, and we got Navy SEALs, Green Berets, the Rangers, and they go through this really extreme training to toughen up, to test them, try them to see if they're worthy of that Green Beret or that patch that they have. And very few that sign up for it actually complete the course. And they are elite forces. They serve as one. If, you know, one can do the other one's job. And they grow in unity. They have a special bond. Walter did that study on that one time. And They would rather, you know, they're there for each other. They're, you know, it's like, I got your back, you know. They don't want to fight with anyone else because they know who they can trust. And in our case, I believe that's called the unity of the Holy Spirit. And also, the assembling of ourselves together as we see that day approaching. I need to be here. Amen. With my things I'm going through sometimes, I'm fatigued and tired and groggy, and I could stay home very easily and just watch on the internet, which I enjoy when I do that, but I'd rather be here. I need the fellowship of the saints. I need the hugs, the encouragement, and the happy faces and smiles. Even the kids, some Friday nights I'll come in and I'll be feeling like something the cats dragged in that the dogs wouldn't eat. And we get to going into class and teaching them, and it's just so sweet. The kids are just looking and paying attention. And I've noticed that lately, this past year, that the kids are really paying attention to the Word of God. And I know it's the parents, but it's so sweet. But, you know, by the end of that class, I'm forgetting all my problems. I'm thankful that even those kids got my back and that they're there for me. And believe me, they can be a mighty testimony. And it's just as good in that class if there's one kid or a dozen. You find out that it's because Jesus is there. And we'll go to 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20. I notice that we're in Thessalonians a lot. They're good books. And it says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." And I can look out here and I can say that to each one of you for my life. And I know sometimes we don't feel like we're a testimony of God's mercy and grace. I know sometimes people might be here for the first time, but I always try to encourage them that I'm glad they're here. Because you never know. There was a day that I walked in this place hooked on drugs, a skinny, smelly hippie with long hair, good for nothing. And that was the day that my life changed. The Lord just took over, and I'm so thankful for it, and especially thankful just because of the love that was here that welcomed me. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 and 13. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." And I don't know if I'd never noticed this or just forgot that I might have noticed it, but I like that, increase in love. And we need to. We can't just, you know, okay, I love you. We increase in love one towards another. And I don't sleep much these days. And I turn on this little program on the radio late at night. It's called American Stories. And they have Christian stories and different things, and it's pretty interesting. And they had a story on the other night about this couple, and the husband told the wife, he says, "You don't want to marry me." And she said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, I go to work at 7 in the morning and work till 11 at night. You'll never see me." And she said, "Well, that's okay. I love you." Well, pretty soon that got kind of old, and she told him, "You're going to have to start staying home on Saturdays and take care of the kids." He said, "How am I going to do that?" And she said, "Figure it out." Well, he loved her. He didn't want to lose her. And so he figured it out. But he said one thing at the end of this testimony, that they've been married now for 40 years, and their love increased towards each other every day. And that's what we need here. We need that big love, if I could put it that way. And I do appreciate the love here. I know there's the parents that bring those kids to my class on Friday night. They don't just meet up at church. They meet together all the time and take care of each other's kids. And they would bring me meals there for a while when I was getting meals. And there'd be three different families of kids there with one mother. But you knew there was love there, and that they took care of each other, and it's just so sweet to me. And the same, you know, with all the saints here. We don't just come to church and then get done and walk out. I love hanging around, and not bragging, but I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. And I know Vic usually is. So I don't know, do you ever leave, Vic? But it's because I love the saints and just love talking to them and encouraging them. And it's hard to get around to say hi to everybody. And I usually don't make it to see everybody, but I just know that I love y'all. Got to let just a few more here. Romans 12, and 9 through 12, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation," that's hypocrisy, "abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." And I see a lot of that around here. "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." And that's one of the other things I appreciate about the saints there. Always, "Hey, I'm praying for you." And I say, "Don't stop." Don't ever stop. And I pray for you too. And I'm so thankful that we can be instant in prayer. If somebody out here needs prayer and they come up and ask Brother Webb or me to pray for them, we'll stop right there and pray. Pastor too. And I don't want to leave anybody out, because I've seen a lot of you praying for people. And again, patient in tribulation. 1 Peter 4. Twelve and 13. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And that's where I was at the beginning of this, back in April. I thought it was pretty strange. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with joy. Exceeding joy. There's always more with God. And I'll just read this to close out. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What wait I for? That glory that'll be revealed in us. I hope this has been a blessing. Kind of got over my grogginess, praise the Lord. I'm thankful for the doctors, even though I don't always agree with them. I had this one pounding on my shoulder to see if this tumor hurt, and I said, "You don't feel a thing, do you?" And she laughed, but I didn't feel it either, so praise the Lord. And I know he's faithful in all this, and I know he's doing that perfect work, not just in my life, but in all of yours. Thank you all for listening and for your patience tonight. I love you all.